The Holy Word of God from the second book of Chronicles. And reading together, commencing in chapter 33 and verse 20. And we will read to the end of chapter 34. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house, and Amon his son reigned in his stead. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh, his father. For Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made, and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Amon trespassed more and more, and his servants conspired against him, and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Amon, and the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down. And the groves and the carved images and the molten images he brake in pieces and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon the altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent to Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin. And they returned to Jerusalem, and they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. even to the artificers. And the builders gave they it to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings, and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully, and the overseers of them that were Jahath and Obadiah, the Levites of the sons of Merari, and Zechariah, and Meshulam, of the sons of the Kohathites, to set it forward, and other of the Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music. Also, they were over the bearers of burdens, and were overseers of all that wrought the work in any manner of service. And of the Levites there were scribes, and officers, and porters. And when they had brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, and the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Ishiah, a servant of the king's, saying, go, inquire of the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because of our fathers. I have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvath, the son of Hasra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in the book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Well, may the Lord bless his word to our souls. Amen. Complete dependence upon the Lord for all needed help this morning. Wish to direct your very prayerful attention to the second book of Chronicles. Wish to consider the narrative, really, in which we read in chapter 34, but by way of text, more particularly verses 14 and 15. The second book of Chronicles, 34, particularly verses 14 and 15. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. The death of Solomon had a significant effect, no doubt you will have heard this in your recent expositions, in the life of Israel. Because the kingdom then was divided, north and south. Not an uncommon thing in any land, but particularly in the case of Judah. The northern kingdom had 19 kings over 250 years. Every one of them was a bad man, and we read some particularly evil, more than the others. The southern kingdom fared somewhat better, having 5 outstanding kings. And here we may say Josiah, the most outstanding of them all. You will notice with the word of God, you always get a fair hearing. It will bring out a man's good points and his bad points as well. No doubt Josiah, a sinner like the rest of fallen mankind, no question about that. But we read at the commencement of our chapter, in chapter 34, that when he was 8 years old, when he began to reign, he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, I very deliberately read the preceding verses that we may understand that salvation is not, of course, inherited. Prior to what some of our Presbyterian brethren may think, there is no such thing as being in the covenant by one's birth. Friends, the scripture says ye must be born again, born from above. And here we can see very clearly that this man Josiah, his father and his grandfather, did that which was evil, did that which was wrong in the sight of the Lord. So we have this young man born, we think around 638, 639 BC. And the Lord was working. The Holy Spirit came. At this point, Judah, a place of darkness, no better really than the northern kingdom in many ways. And we read that he walked in the ways of David his father and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. This says something of his character. This was a man who knew what he believed and why he believed it. And if the Lord works the work of grace in a man or a woman's soul, is this not our desire? That we would be instructed by the Lord, that he would open our eyes, that he would open our minds, he would open our hearts to the truth. And was not this the case here with this man, Josiah? He declined not to the right hand nor to the left. This was a man of conviction. This was a man of conviction. With a few exceptions, we're not raising men of conviction today as men of conjecture. Anything goes. Compromise. Make sure we don't rock the boat too much. But when it comes to the things of God, compromise is treason. And you see, the Lord, does he not open our eyes and open our minds to the truth? The Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth was here working in Josiah, because we read in verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. The 8th year of his reign. My. This young man had the power of the Holy Spirit breathing upon his soul. And we can see a very important principle here. He began to seek after the God of David, his father. Questions were raised in his mind as to the practices of the land. Were they right? Were they faithful? We have to say today that there are many buildings up and down the land that were once faithful, that were once true, and are now existing in a state of compromise and apostasy. That is no exaggeration. And if they would but go back to the originators, if they went back to their forefathers in where they stood, they would find a very different situation. Praise God if we are faithful. to that which has been set before us. Not the vain tradition, but continuing in what Paul talks of those good traditions that we have learned. And this was what Josiah was seeking for. And do we not see here a growth in grace and a maturity in spirituality? Because we read, and in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and from the groves and the carved images and the molten images. These images were for the most part pagan deities. And Josiah had come to realize that these were not of his father, of his spiritual forefathers, and that they had to go. And you see, when the Lord works a work of maturity in the soul, and he will open the eyes of a man, and he will open the heart of a man, and he will give him strength. And this is the strength that was given to Josiah in amidst all this wickedness. He said, no, these things have got to go. So we read that he broke these images and made dust of them. No doubt Josiah would be aware of that which Hezekiah had done when he took the serpent, the brass serpent, of course, had been set up many years previously by Moses, but as is common, the children of Israel began to worship it. So he took it, it's just nushed, it's just a piece of brass, it had to go. You see, and here the Lord was dealing with this man. Praise God if we believe in the sovereignty of God and in the work of grace in the soul. The Lord deals with a man. This is what he was doing here in Josiah's heart. We read again, verse 8. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house and so on, you can see this work of grace in his soul. The Lord was preparing him, wasn't he? For his service. He'd put him in this position and he'd raised him up for this reason. And such was the state that they were in at that time in Judah, that it took many years to remove these things. Many years. And of course, there was much to lament. The lack of the permanency of the temple. The fact that the Ark of the Covenant had been removed. There were many things to mourn. But here, the Lord was working. He was working in the heart of this man, and he was working, as he always does, for the benefit of his people. Now, as we come to our text, we can see something of the Lord's revealing power. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. The money was necessary if we are to have a building that is convenient for worship. Then it is of course necessary that we have the materials and the financial prowess to do these things, to undertake these things. They do not happen by themselves. And here, as they were clearing out the rubbish, we might say, those things that had to go, we find this book. This book. You see, Josiah was determined that they would worship the Lord. So he had to, we read later, and we'll hear this evening, if the Lord will, of the Passover that was set forth. But we read particularly here of the book that was found. And does this not speak to us of the state that they had come to? These were ordained priests. These were the men who had been raised up, who'd been authorized to undertake public worship. And such was the ignorance of the people, of that of their spiritual forefathers, that they had scarcely no knowledge of what this book of the law was. And thus we know that there is nothing new under the sun, don't we? There are many, many, many people today who claim to be ministers or equivalent of the word, particularly in the apostate state church, that have very little knowledge of the scriptures at all, let alone believe in them. And here we can see that the Lord, by his providence, had overruled all this wickedness. You see, we cannot excuse the sin of man, can we? We can never excuse it. But it's overruled for the good of his elect. What did the psalmist say? He performeth all things for me. Every event in this world happens for the glory of God and for the benefit of his elect. And this was what the Lord was performing, was it not? In around 639 BC. You see, it's the same work, isn't it, that the Lord does. People have this idea that the Old Testament was different. No such thing as the church in the Old Testament. What nonsense. Here we can see the Lord is building his church. He's building it here. In the discovery of the book given by Moses. Now it's interesting to note, Dr. Gill states that some believe that it was just the book of Deuteronomy. Others believing it was the whole of the Pentateuch. I would say I would be more sympathetic to that view myself. And we must understand, must we not, that this business of looking into the book and reading the book, it's not a new thing. Again, the worship that we undertake here as the Christian church in the post-canon era, in the last days, is it not a continuation of the worship of the Lord's people even in that day? It was common in Moses' day. The worship had a set form. We may have a slightly different order in the way that we do things, but this is the principle. This is the principle. That the word is central. We don't find an altar here, we find a pulpit. It's only right that we should do that. And at this pulpit here stands the scriptures. Now generations come and go, congregations come and go, but the word remains the same, doesn't it? And the word should always be central throughout every generation. These things cannot, should not, and friends, if the Lord keeps us, they will not change. Those are the things that we look for. Yes, here we have the discovery. The priest found the book. Now, we also believe that this book that was found, it was authenticized, we might say, because it was Moses' own hand. It was recognized. People recognized the handwriting of Moses, even at this time. It was the law of the Lord given by Moses. And thus, the practice of reading the law, and a man standing before the congregation of the people and expounding the law, was the practice when things were well. And thus it had been lost. And we notice whenever there is a falling away, this principle is undermined and is lost. How many places in Biddeford this morning will be looking for a faithful exposition of the word in their worship? You know the answer to that better than I do. I suspect it's not many. Friends, when the Lord works in the soul of a man and a woman, and he brings them to a state, to a knowledge of their own state, they will desire to hear the word of the Lord. And this was a discovery, a rediscovery of those things. It wasn't the new gospel. It was a rediscovery of those things. What did the Lord Jesus himself say? That he began at Moses and expounded unto the people the things concerning himself. It's Christ in all the scriptures. Isn't it? That is the divine principle that is found here. But it's the principle of the church, isn't it? It's the church's foundation. Without the Holy Scriptures, what have we? What have we? We have simply the thoughts and the whims of man. And that's what we've come to. That's what we've come to. But here we have the discovery of the book. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law. I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Through the rubble, through that which had been cast aside many years previously in a corner somewhere. You know, the principle for worship, or the principles, I should say, plural for worship, are set down in Scripture. It is not for us to decide what we want. The Lord has already decided for us. And if we are his people, we will desire what the Lord desires. It's as simple as that, really. Now, a word by application in this respect. There are several principles that we have in worship. The first, of course, we've mentioned is the reading of the scripture and the exposition of the scripture. Now, we can see that the underlying principle of that is that we may see Christ within the scriptures. And that he is found everywhere within the scriptures. That the scripture touches the needs of every man and every woman in every generation of his elect. Why? Because their need is the same. Their need is the Saviour from sin. We may live in a modern era with technology and many other things that previous generations have not had, but the need is the same. The need is the same. It hasn't changed. The need is the same. And thus we have the principle of preaching. It is the Lord's will. People say we cannot limit the Lord. He can use anything. Well, yes, the Lord can use anything if he wishes to do so. But he has set forth that he will save his people by the preaching of the gospel. That is his ordained means. We may say that the Lord has instructed and has declared himself how he will work. And thus, we have the preaching. This principle, if we may direct to Scripture, a proof text for it, I believe it's always important that we should prove our the things that we assert from the Scripture. In Acts 2, of course, in verse 41, you may wish to turn with me, in that we have this principle for the church. When they that gladly received his word, that is the believing people, were baptized. That word, of course, baptizo, means to immerse, to plunge in water, does not mean to sprinkle. It means to plunge, to dip. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, to be added unto is to come together as a church. Formally, to recognize one another. People say there's no such thing as church membership in the Bible. There certainly is. We have it here. You can't be added unto something that does not exist. They were added unto one another. They recognized one another. And this is really the point. And they continued steadfastly, firmly. They earnestly contended for the faith. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now that is preaching. The word set forth before them. The apostles' doctrine and fellowship. There is a unity, the Lord's people, one to another. I must say, in my own denomination, this is somewhat of a lack. There is sometimes there is not very much fellowship, living with all things in common, as we might say, New Testament church did. There should always be that mutual care, one for another. But here we have an in breaking of bread, that is the ordinance of the Lord's table, and in prayers. So here we have the principle, don't we? Preaching, prayer meetings, and the ordinance. Preaching, prayer meetings, and the ordinance. Preaching, prayer meetings, and the ordinance. To continue in these things with the undergirding of the fellowship and the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That is the principle of what the church is. And as soon as we depart from these things, as soon as we depart from them, we find ourselves in either extra biblical or unbiblical practices. And thus, the spirit of the age is far from this. It is mainly to raise money, to perform in all sorts of strange activities, a heavy emphasis on activism and doing things. People are always doing things, wanting to do things for the Lord. But here we have the church's obligation, which is to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That is what we're to do, to continue faithfully. Friends, we're not commanded to be successful. Here we have a small company of people before us today. But friends, we ought to be encouraged. We're not commanded to be successful. We are commanded to be faithful. Be ye faithful unto death, the Lord says, and I will give thee a crown of life. And thus we can see here that this was not a real reformation? This was a real reformation. In Josiah's day, the Lord was working. They'd found the book. They'd found the book. And what was more, in verse 18, and Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard these words of the law that he rent his clothes. Now, the word of God had reached the king's ears. It reached his ears. And he, was he not determined that the worship of the Lord should be faithful? And that is the principle that we have here, is it not? The priest had found the book. Now, we must observe that what was going on here was genuine. You may say, well, of course it is. It's just a rather strange thing to say. But we must be discerning. Do we not pray that we would be discerning people? What was happening here was genuine. Because the Lord, in his providence and his grace, had brought these things about. We can never separate the two. When the Lord works in providence, he brings about his grace. And when the Lord is bringing about his grace, he makes these things to work through the providences of life and through the events of life. And here we can see that this was one of such events. He'd brought to pass this rediscovering of the word. Now, we would note that things changed in Judah in a very permanent way. The high places were torn down. We read in the last verse of our chapter this morning, and Josiah took away all the abominations out of the countries that pertain to the children of Israel. There were many abominations. The abomination of idolatry, which the children of Israel were so prone. The sin of sodomy, of which they had fallen into. And these things, when the Lord works, are removed. They've gone. And when there is a falling away, these things always spring up. We're in a dreadful state today. And thus, when the sin of sodomy becomes socially acceptable, and we don't need to think that this is a new thing. It was such with the ancient Greeks and so on. It's a very unpleasant topic, but nevertheless, it is the situation we are in. It goes hand in hand with the falling away. The desecration of the Sabbath, the fall, the rife, crime goes on around us, sodomy, all these things, civil unrest, they are all fruits of an ungodly situation. And Josiah took these things down. He removed them. He removed them in a civil sense. He removed them. And the Lord was working in the souls of men and women. There were those who gladly received his word. Now, when we speak of those things in respect of Israel, we always have to be careful. Because there is this idea that particularly those who went through the Red Sea with Moses and so on, that they were all believing people. Remember, the Lord's people are only a remnant. And they are a remnant in every generation. Yes, there were those who were part of the civil benefits. Unbelieving people received the civil benefits of the Reformation in this country. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. But we can't say at all that they were saved, can we? And thus in this day, there were those of whom saw the high places removed, but never embraced the spirit of him. But there were those, and this is the mercy. This is the mercy. That the Lord will have a people. That the Lord will have a remnant. That he will bless souls. And there were those souls blessed through the rediscovery of the Word. And thus we find there were those that the Lord really genuinely wrought upon. And when this is the case, things change. Things change. In our own nation, Oliver Cromwell set forth the truth of the Protestant nation and of people who would be found under the hand of the Lord. And thus, William Tyndale, I don't need to remind you many of these names, their testimonies live on. The testimony of Josiah lives on, doesn't he? The good testimony, those good things that have been set forth, they always leave a positive effect. You and I, wherever we go, we always leave an effect behind. We always leave a testimony behind in our little lives. And the effect on those around us is lasting. It's lasting. And the effect of Josiah was lasting, wasn't it? Upon these people. And things genuinely changed, and they changed permanently. Many places in Britain where there were those wicked things, the gambling halls, the alehouses and so on, where much wickedness took place, they were closed when the Lord wrought revival in the souls of his people. It was a genuine move, because it was a move of the Spirit. We cannot counterfeit those things. An example of this will be, I have a friend who is an acquaintance I correspond sometimes with, who is the pastor of a church in Danville, Kentucky. Some of you will know who I'm speaking of. And he said when he first became pastor some 30 years ago, there was a great deal of fuss made over a so-called evangelistic film called The Burning Hell. And there was a showing of this movie, as they call it, in the local school. Many wanted him to partake. He refused, of course. But he said great professions of faith were made. It scared everybody into making a profession of faith. He said, but you know, the problem was 2 months later, things just went back to how they were before. Why? Because the Lord hadn't been behind it. It was the effect, it was the attempt of man to bring about revival. Friends, we are in need of a work of the Spirit. That is what we are in need of. We cannot bring about revival ourselves. We are to continue steadfastly, as the Scripture says. When we look and we pray for a better day, when the Lord will own and bless the word and set it forth with power and among his people. But we cannot create revival ourselves by our own endeavours. The Lord must work. And the Lord was working here. The Lord was working here. But we must take courage, and we must take heart that it is the same God that wrought this revival in Josiah's day, that wrought the Reformation, that wrought the many opening of nonconformist chapels in the 19th century, and that can do a work in our day, in the 21st century. It is the same God. But if we are to have this rediscovery, it will be by the book. The Lord has set forth the way he will work, and he will work by the book. What a mercy if you and I come into Zion every Lord's Day morning and we desire to hear of the book faithfully set forth before us. You know, it's one of the sadnesses that in many places where we lack, do we not, faithful expositors of the word. There are perhaps church buildings and no minister. It's the case in many places up and down this country. Oh, that the Lord would raise up those faithful ministers of his word. Is that not another sign of a genuine revival? The Lord raises men up to preach his word. We breathe after such a day. Now you see what we have before us is the Lord owning and blessing. And that's what we need. This rediscovery of the book. Oh friends, that we may venture on, take heart, earnestly contending, continuing steadfastly in the ministry of the word and in fellowship and of the breaking of bread and in prayers. John Bunyan knew what it meant, didn't he? He knew what it meant to venture on as a pilgrim throughout this land. We may never be large, we may never be successful, but oh, that we would be faithful to the Lord and his word. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen. Conclude by singing hymn 745, John Bunyan's well-known hymn. Who would true valor see? Let him come hither. One here will constant be, come wind, come weather. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent his first avowed intent to be a pilgrim. Hymn 745. Do, Lord, cover anything thine holy and thine pure eyes have seen amiss. Bring us to the evening sacrifice with hearts that are glad to be in the house of the Lord. And may the blessing of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, rest, remain, and abide with us each, now and forever.